Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and with me today is my special guest, Melody Giangreco-Smith, Senior Executive Contracts Manager with Federal Schedules. Welcome, Melody.
Thank you, Wayne.
Melody is an experienced manager. She has over 20 years in federal contracting, and she joined Federal Schedules back in 1998 as a contracts administrator, bringing with her 10 years of contracts experience. Prior to joining Federal Schedules, she was a certified paralegal specializing in corporate information technology mergers and acquisitions. And while at Federal Schedules, Melody has successfully negotiated hundreds of government contracts on behalf of Federal Schedules clients. She primarily focuses on GSA schedule contracts, and she received her Bachelor's of Administration, BA, in Government Administration and Politics from George Mason University, and is a member of the National Contract Management Association, NCMA. How long has Federal Schedules been in business?
Wayne, we were formed by Roxanne Dobrinsky back in 1986. We've been around a while.
And how did the company get its start?
Roxanne really was a pioneer in the GSA schedules. She had a vision. The program was much different from what it is today, so it's changed quite a bit. But back then, it was a one-year term contract, and she saw a lot of companies struggling and trying to achieve the program and be listed and get awarded a contract. And she saw the need for it, and she created Federal Schedules as a consulting firm to help those companies.
So Federal Schedules helps companies get on the GSA schedule.
We do, and we also manage them. And we're a government contract consulting firm, so it goes beyond the schedules, but that's our focus.
That's what I gleaned from your bio, that you're actually engaged in negotiating some contracts on behalf of some of Federal Schedules' clients. Is that right?
We do. We represent quite a few different types of companies, and sometimes they engage or require, you know, our consulting services for responding to RFPs and RFQs.
So you're a government contract specialist helping people do business with the federal government.
Correct.
For people who aren't familiar with the GSA schedule, tell us a little bit about the GSA schedule. Give us an overview of how the program works and what the advantages are of holding a GSA schedule contract.
Sure. The schedule is merely a procurement vehicle. It's not mandatory. It's not required to do business with the federal government, but it certainly gives you a great competitive edge.
In what way?
Because many companies don't hold the schedule.
Right.
And if you are pre-vetted by the General Services Administration and you are awarded a contract, they do a lot of the requirements for best value determination and your pricing, and they vet your company from a viable standpoint, meaning you're a great company to do business with. They check your past performance. There's a lot that goes into responding to the solicitation and getting on the program. So having a schedule gives you the competitive edge. It is an IDIQ type contract. That's an indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity type
Thank you.
Contract.
Thank
yes.
You.
There's
too
an
many,
acronym
too
for
many people
everything.
On this radio station talk about, you know, IDIQ, and people listening sometimes understand it. Those of us who do this
sure.
understand it, but thank you for explaining that.
I think so, we can publish something, a book on federal acronyms that would sell well.
I think so, or at least a glossary.
Yes.
So IDIQ, what else does the GSA schedule
open to all federal, of course, the federal agencies. Some of the contracts, they've expanded the program to include some cooperative purchasing. So state and local is getting on board in recent years since, I think it was about 2005, mm-hmm. the program began, including state and local. And then, of course, we have disaster recovery, which allows state and local entities to procure off the schedules program in the event of a disaster.
What are some of the benefits of being on the GSA schedule?
Well, certainly the government will pre-qualify your company. That's what GSA's role is. And that, of course, cuts down the procurement cycle because federal acquisition regulations and open market procurement take forever.
Right.
A company that's on the schedule, orders can be processed going through a very streamlined process of maybe weeks.
So it's pre-negotiated pricing? Pre-negotiated terms,
correct.
Pre-negotiated conditions to the contracts.
Absolutely.
Okay. And also, it ensures compliance with the FAR, the Federal Acquisition Regulations.
Correct.
So that's an important component. So being on the GSA schedule is really important for people who want to do business with the federal government.
I think it's a great consideration for businesses to look at if they're not already on the program. It is not your end-all, save-all. You cannot
yeah.
permeate government space by just being on the schedule.
You've got to know people.
You got to know people, but you also have to know how to work the system and know how to, you know, look at all of those available websites, check the opportunities, and invest the resources into being successful.
So what role does federal schedules play in helping companies grow in the federal space?
Well, first, we have to understand your objectives. I mean, I mentioned earlier, you have to invest the resources.
Right.
So if you don't have, as you became a successful commercial business, you've got to have a business plan for the federal market, because it's a different market.
Right.
The commercial plan won't work. So invest the people, invest the resources, the time, and, you know, don't feel that you need to market to every federal agency. Pick your agencies, 2, 3. It depends upon the size of your business, of course. You know, you certainly want to improvise on maybe an indirect route as well, being a subcontractor, being a teaming partner through the schedules. But you really need to hit the government space in a multi-pronged approach.
Do you assist your clients? Does federal schedules assist its clients in preparing proposals that meet the GSA's requirements and other things that will give you the advantage of doing business with the government?
Yeah, I mean, sure, because we understand what the requirements are. I mean, I think a lot of people become very confused when they read these solicitations. They really don't understand what the government's asking for or the best approach to satisfy those requirements. So what we can provide you is with the understanding of here's why they're asking for it, and that'll also affect how you answer the questions
mm-hmm.
and what information you have to provide.
Does federal schedules offer training services to its clients? Tell me a little bit about
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Training is big because knowledge is power, Wayne. We, you know, you can't know enough.
True.
And I learn every day, even to this day, and I try to learn something new in the federal market space and share that wealth, because knowledge is also meant to be shared. We are big in compliance and training. We have to be, because that's the only way they'll be successful.
Do you train nascent contract administrators in how to do what they're supposed to be doing as, you know, new contracts people for the clients that you're dealing with?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, our clientele runs the gamut. We have companies who have been well entrenched in the federal market space and have internal, you know, contracts folks that have a great deal of experience, and we facilitate their jobs. We certainly can't take over their positions by any means, but we give them the latest and greatest of things that are happening and the best approaches to, answer certain questions that they come across and responding to government quotes.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, we also deal with a lot of new people.
Who are the clients that Federal Schedules represents? I mean, give me the range of companies that you typically work with.
We work with many, many large and many, many small. We run the gamut on the size, because
okay.
we have a lot of companies that are fairly new. I mean, obviously the Schedules program is not meant for very, very new companies. You have to be established. You have to have performance and financial, you know, good financials to show you're a valid company to do business with.
How long do you have to have been in business?
At least 2 years.
Okay. And how much financial information do you have to give to the federal government in order to get on the GSA schedule?
Your financials require a 2-year requirement. So
okay.
You provide the data. They evaluate the data based, you know, income to debt ratios,
sure.
et cetera. They run
sure.
their little mathematical formulas, and you know, we assess that in advance for you, so we can tell you you're going to have a problem here or you're not.
Is that right? That's extremely helpful for a client to know what the government's looking for in order to qualify for the GSA schedule.
Sure.
So there are income statements, balance sheets, and other financial information that has to be provided in order to qualify for the GSA schedule. And you all help them accumulate that information and present it in a way that the government will look at it most favorably, I would assume.
We do. And smaller businesses tend to have a bit more other options if their financials aren't necessarily as strong as they'd like them to be.
Right.
You know, the economy, obviously, you know, a lot of companies struggled. 2009 wasn't everyone's favorite year, of course.
Yeah.
So we're rebounding and financials are starting to look better for people. It was very tough. So,
sure.
But there's alternatives for small businesses. The larger businesses, you know, they really need to just pour more resources into it.
What are the types of companies that benefit from holding a GSA scheduled contract?
Well, I mean, certainly companies that are, have commercially available products or services, right? That's the first. The schedule is based upon commerciality, as defined in the Federal Acquisition Regulation.
So the product has to be available to the commercial sector as well as to the government sector.
It does.
Okay.
And really, government can be considered commerciality if that's
sure.
all you have, right?
Sure.
So we look at that. If it's available commercially, then the government wants it, right?
Right.
So I think anybody that is looking to have that competitive edge and has the sound past performance and financials and the wherewithal to to enter the arena.
If you're a company that's developing new products or new ideas, new solutions for the federal government, are those candidates that can be listed on a GSA schedule? I mean, how do you establish commerciability or commercial availability?
Right. Well, the commerciality is defined under FAR 2.101, right?
So go girl.
Yeah, got to know those sites. But because it's a big question, mm-hmm. and that's everybody's. That's a very popular question that we get all the time.
Right.
So we have to be able to look at that definition and show them the definition that it doesn't necessarily need to be sold commercially, but it has to be offered. And a lot of misunderstanding for companies is that if you sell it to those big federal primes,
right,
that do a lot of business in, right. in the market space, GSA is going to consider that commercial work.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So you have no privity of contract with that end user and you don't get paid. You go to your prime,
right.
not to the end user.
Right. So how would you gauge the success of companies that are on GSA schedule in terms of sales?
The GSA program, I think in 2011, of course, fiscal year ending September 30th,
right.
did about $38.4 billion in the entire program. It ends up being about $2 million, $1.8 per company on the contract.
Okay.
Now, IT, Schedule 70, information technology is, Wayne, that's the biggest contract that's out there. You know, it represents almost half of the whole revenue generation, $16 billion. So a significant portion is through Schedule 70. But the other contracts out there, again, they break the schedules program into different service offerings. So there's engineering, there's business process reengineering.
There's training, there's
absolutely
communication, there's marketing. I mean, I've seen it all with a bunch
security,
of my clients.
Law security, law enforcement's
right?
a big one.
And it varies by agency. Some have different needs than others.
Sure.
But the IT procurement process seems to be a major focus. Is
it
that
has
correct?
To be.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Schedule 70 has expanded over the years dramatically to include the HSPD 12. That's the Homeland Security Presidential Directive with all the ID badging and the coding and the requirements to log on even to, you know, your computers at the office to get you from building to building.
Sure.
It's a big program in the federal space.
The cloud. The
cloud is big. That's the big buzzword this year. They did a lot with the satellite communications.
Right.
You know, that contract was actually added to Schedule 70 a couple years ago, and we've done several. There's only 13 companies, I believe, under that particular area, and we've done several of those.
So we were talking about this a little bit earlier, but what are the factors that influence a company's success on the GSA schedule, in your opinion?
My first question is, what do you plan on doing with it?
Right.
You know, because I can't set someone up for failure. You know, they need to look at the getting on the program as a devotion of time, your technical narratives, references, financials we've already talked about.
Right.
All of those things go into creating a quality submission. So number one, you got to get through the process. The time frame also you negotiate, you know, they'd be remiss if they didn't negotiate your offer. They, meaning the GSA contracting officers. And that takes time as well.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get this contract, this unique contract number, it doesn't mean anything unless
right.
you do something with
right.
it.
Right. It's just on a schedule. It's
exactly.
on a list.
Exactly. It is, you know, a lot of our industry calls it the hunting license. I don't particularly care for that term because I think it just sounds like it's a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's a very valuable tool. But as with anything, if you don't
know how to use the tool.
Yeah, if you don't know how to use it, you know how to use it, you're not going to be successful.
So Federal Schedules is an expert in not only getting people on the GSA, but in enabling them to utilize the tool of the GSA schedule.
Absolutely. And by that, we give you the knowledge and the tools.
So how many people are Federal Schedules? How many employees?
We have 13 people.
Nice size company.
Mm-hmm,
and if people want to get in touch with you or anybody at Federal Schedules, how do they do that to learn more about GSA schedules?
It's best, Wayne, through our website. It's www.federalschedules.com. Julie Crosby is the president of our company, and her phone number is 703-709-8700. And that's really the best way to reach us.
And there's also an email, I think, sales@fedsched.com. fedsched.com.
Yep, fedsched.com.
F-E-D-S-C-H-E-D.com. Well, thank you for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth today.
My pleasure, Wayne. Thank you for having
me. I've learned a lot more about GSA schedules than I ever hoped I would, and I hope the listeners have gotten something out of this. And again, federal schedules, and the website is F-E-D-S-C-H-E-D.com. Thanks for being a special guest. Thanks for listening, everybody, to Blueprint for Wealth. And join us next week for another special topic and special guest. Have a great week.